1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're in the middle of verse 6 for the last time for this month. Four Wednesdays in February and a four-part sermon series on love. Next Wednesday will be March 1st. We'll be into a new month. So we are going to try to finish up tonight on this list of things the Holy Spirit gave Paul to describe love to us so that we might be able to see and know when love is active in our lives. And so we're going to pick up right where we left off in the middle of verse 6. Let me go ahead and read through the beginning of verse 8 so we'll know what we're sharing tonight. Middle of verse 6 says, speaking of love, says, love rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity or love never faileth. Love wants truth to win. Okay? Love rejoiceth in the truth. Love rejoices in the divine truth of God and truthfulness in all matters of life. Love never covers or hides the truth of a matter. Love always faces the truth. You know, in these department stores, they have these t-shirts with these little sayings on them, and some of them are, I guess they're supposed to be funny. Some of them are. I noticed one a few years ago, and all it said on it was, I'm probably lying. I guess that's, well, I hear a chuckle already tonight. I guess that's, you know, funny. You know, I don't know if some people would come to the mind of others when they see something like that. I don't know why someone would buy that t-shirt or wear that t-shirt. You know, it's a serious matter of untruthfulness. Some people live in the habitual practice of lying, and when there's a whole lot of lying going on, there's a lack of love going on. It was said that back in this little country town, that there was a man in town. He was known as the town liar, and you know, if you caught him in a lie, the first time he told it, he would kind of chuckle and laugh it off. But if you caught him in that lie, he'd been telling it for a week or so. He started believing it. And you're going to be in a fight if you catch him after he's told that lie several times. It's a serious matter, untruthfulness is. Ephesians 4:25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. In 6:14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Zechariah 8:16 says, these are the things that ye shall do. And the first one is, speak ye every man truth to his neighbor. Malachi 2:6, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. True love is pleased with the truth. True love loves the truth and expresses itself in truth. Love celebrates when truth is prevailed. The entire verse 6 here, says, love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love finds no pleasure in falsehood or deceitfulness, but in speaking the truth and in seeking the truth out. Love's aim will always be truth, whether it helps another or whether it initially might hurt another. Whether we should seek truth and to be honest, whether it hurts us initially or not, because the truth sets us free. I tell you what, to cover up one thing means you got to cover up another. And next thing you know, you have a conscience that's very disturbed. You have a heaviness that is weighing upon you. And And rather than cover our shortcomings and failures, we need to be honest in all things so that the truth can set us free. There's no joy in a lie. There might be the temporary getting out of consequences from it, but there is no joy in a lie. But the truth brings joy. We don't rejoice in untruthfulness, but we rejoice in the truth. Love wants truth to win, but also, if you'll go with me to verse 7, we see that love withstands under the weight. Love beareth all things. So where we see that love doesn't cover a lie, it will hold in a reaction to things, a reaction to abuse or ridicule or things that are thrown against us. Love will bear those things. Love, when things are thrown against us, love doesn't throw back. But love bears up. When others are gathering in a circle of slander against us, love's going to have us to bear up in that situation. Love has us to conceal wrong feelings and not verbalize them. Love doesn't run and tell. Love will keep us from airing out publicly a wrongdoing that is unnecessary to give. Love bears things patiently. Love doesn't buckle under the weight of onslaught that might come against us. Love stands. Love doesn't run away. It holds in, it holds out, and it bears up. It doesn't have run-ins, it doesn't run out, and it doesn't speak up when it's not necessary. Love bears. Love beareth all things. The 6-year-old little girl was asked to describe love in her words, and she said it well. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend you hate. Man, the 6-year-old can say it so good. That's so strong. Love knows no limits to bearing up. Let's not take anything away from true love. It knows no limits to bearing up. It holds in and without building resentment. It just bears it and with no bitterness and no resentment within. That's what love does. Some say people bring out the worst in us. And you know, you could say in one way that was true of Moses. You know, the Israel kept murmuring and Moses got to a place where he wasn't able to go into the promised land. So Granddaddy made up his own beatitude. Blessed is the man who doesn't allow a fool to cause him to act a fool. But Some people bring out the worst in us, is the saying, but not if there's love, because love beareth all things. It withstands under the weight. But not only does love withstand under the weight, love wishes for all to be well. Look, continue with me in verse 7. It says, love believeth all things. This speaks of trusting and believing for the best. I know a story kind of personal to me. I know everybody involved in this story. And though I wasn't there, I had nothing to do with it. It was about a pastor of a church. And I don't know details. I don't know if it was something currently or presently in his life. I don't know if it was something from his past that surface that could have been covered. I don't know. But there was assumption and there was rumor that there was something about him that disqualified him from being a pastor. That was the rumor at the time anyway. And so it was looked into and it was investigated. And the whole time, the testimony is, most of the church, almost all of the church, seemed to have the attitude that they were going on that assumption, and they had sunk their claws into that gossip, and he was as good as gone before they ever validated what was being said of him. Now, I guess it would make the story better if they were wrong, but we still have a point to make here. They were right, and what came out was true about the pastor, and within that church, they had to disqualify him from being able to be the pastor any longer. But just because they were right about the outcome doesn't mean that their attitude was right going about through it. There was one man in the church, and he said, and he stood against everybody and said, "You're wrong. You're wrong for jumping on this assumption and counting it as done. I am going to stand behind him until I can't stand behind him any longer." And so the outcome, you know, was the same. He was disqualified, but it seems like the majority judged by appearance. The Bible says, "Judge not by appearance only, but judge righteous judgment." It seems like the majority judged by appearance, but there was one who judged righteous judgment. He didn't judge on half the story. He didn't judge on something that appeared to be. He didn't judge off of rumor. He judged once the facts were established. Love will have us to believe the best until evidence proves otherwise. It will avoid undue suspicion and weigh a matter thoroughly before passing judgment. We give the benefit of the doubt until truth is fully known. That's what love does. That love believeth all things. Love looks ahead and pictures the best possible outcome. Love believeth all things. Love doesn't believe a lie, but it believes for the best. Love wishes for all to be well. Love believeth all things. Love waits for something wonderful. Continue with me in verse 7. Love hopeth all things. You know, as we think about our hope as Christians, we have a confident expectation in our God and what He has said and the experience of Him saving our lives. Our hope in God is not the weak, doubting, uncertain, "I hope so," of this world. There were some members of the church who went door knocking this week, and more than once every time, when you ask someone if they want to go to heaven, they say, "Well, I hope so." And there's a lot of doubt in the sound of their voice. But we have assurance of the very best eternity that could possibly be in heaven. It has been prepared for us by God Himself. What a wonderful hope that we have in God. Now, as we look at love and we see that love hopeth all things, that is not just an act toward God and His promises, but it is an act toward other people. We hope all things in relation to other people. Those around us, they may fail and they may fall, and you may wonder how far they have to fall before they look up, before they look to God, and you hope that they haven't reached the bottom of the barrel, or you may think, haven't they reached the bottom of the barrel, that they can't go any lower and they'll look up. We want the best for someone. But we're expecting the child of God to look up. We're expecting the best for someone no matter what their condition is. It's expecting, love hopeth all things. It's expecting the best for another even when they are at their worst. Love never stops hoping. Love never gives up hope. Love never stops hoping for good to triumph in the life of another. This hope in love, it never fades. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience of the Scriptures might have hope." And verse 5 says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We have hope in our Savior, and we have hope toward the saints. The hope we personally and individually have in Christ Jesus for our lives is the same hope that anybody can have. As we consider what we have in Jesus Christ, knowing that no one is excluded from being able to have it, how could we give up hope on anyone? So we have hope toward others. Love hopeth all things. How do we put that into practice and picture that? A story is told of a man who was a prisoner in a Soviet prison in Siberia. And he became weak and discouraged, and he wished he could die. I mean, it was taking the wind out of the sails of the other prisoners. They were worked like slaves, and they were beaten for the slightest thing. They would be beaten to death, it was said, if they quit working. And so most of the prisoners are watching this one prisoner. He seems to be, as well, the old saying, at the end of his rope. And it was getting really tough, and he was discouraged, and he decided, "I'm going to go ahead and stop working. Then these guards will go ahead and kill me." And he stopped. But before the guards saw him, his fellow prisoner next to him, who not only could they not stop working, but they couldn't speak to one another. They'd get a beating if they were caught speaking to one another. So this prisoner next to him reached over in front of him on the ground, and he drew a cross with his finger right in front of him where he could see it. And just that alone right there made him stop and gaze upon that and think about his faith in Jesus Christ. And that was enough encouragement to lift him up right there alone. Sometimes people just need one sweet word. You never know what one kind gesture, one kind act, what one nice word can do for someone else. For this man, that encouraged his despair and gave him hope and courage. He decided to keep on working rather than take a beating to death because of the hope in another Christian's life, because of the hope that's in another Christian's love that he extended to him. See how love overlaps the love of God to us and then the love from us to someone else. Our hope is in the Lord by faith, but it becomes hope for others by love. Love waits for something wonderful, right up to the end without fading away. Hope doesn't give up on someone else, and we have that in love. Love hopeth all things. Love wades through the war. Look with me in verse 7. Love, end of verse 7. Love endureth all things. This means to suffer patiently. This is very similar to beareth all things. Love beareth all things. Love endureth all things. But when we get to love endureth all things, there's an advancement in this. And there's a stronger act in this. When love is going to endure all things. No matter how violent the assault of the enemy might be upon us. Love endures the attack. Love can outlast anything. Think about Corinth and all these different gifts that they were excited about. And Paul's going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on, you're forgetting about the greatest one that never ends. Love can outlast anything. Love is strong. Love doesn't buckle. Love stands through the attack. The attack might be loud, but love is quiet and it's stable through the war. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. I like the phrase I read in an old commentary, an unflinching perseverance. When love is active in our lives, there is an unflinching perseverance in the face of difficult circumstances, concerning events in our lives, concerning people with others. Love gives us an unflinching perseverance. And that is something that we don't have the ability to walk in and be described as on our own. Not with the right heart anyway. Love endureth all things without resentment and without bitterness in our lives. This is what happens when love is leading. Love endureth all things. There was a very unusual military funeral that I read about. It was in California. It took place about December of 2013 for Sergeant First Class Joseph Gant. He fought in World War II, and he fought in the Korean War, and he died the following year. This was about 1951 or so, and his body wasn't returned for some 50 years. And his death was actually never confirmed by the North Koreans. His wife, Clara, waited decades for her husband to come back. She regularly went to the meetings with government officials seeking information on anything new that might have happened in that situation. Clara even bought a house. And she had the whole thing landscaped. She had everything done that her husband would want done to that house. And her words were, so when he comes home, he can just go fishing. Man, that sounds pretty nice. She was 94 years old, though, when his remains were finally brought back to the States, brought back home for a military funeral with full honors. It wasn't the homecoming she dreamed of. But at least she knew his fate now. And Clara told a reporter who had interviewed, he told me if anything happened to him, he wanted me to remarry. And her answer to him was, no, no. And her words were, and still here I am, his wife. And I'm going to consider myself his wife until the Lord calls me home. And when he does that, we're going to have a greater relationship somehow than what we had here on this earth. Love, true godly love, is not temporary. Love is a commitment that is meant to last. Love, it's not based on everything going right or everything being smooth or a completely happy situation all the time. Love is not based on that. Love is not an emotional feeling. Love is a choice of the will, and we are to love others as God has loved us, as God has described what love is going to look like through our lives to one another. And it's unfailing, and it never ends. This love, think about that. This love never fails. When you look at the description, and there are things within us that seems to have a problem to extend ourselves to this kind of character in our lives, hey, It's a win-win. Love wins. It never fails. Love is the only way to win is my last point in closing. And we're not finished because in the beginning of verse 8, it says charity or love never faileth. Any gift that Corinth could have had, any using of that gift, no matter how spiritual they looked, no matter what effect that gift had when they used it, no matter what words they were able to say, every gift was inferior to this love. This love will never vanish away. This love will last forever. The gifts that we read of here, they ended, they ceased, they were no more when the Bible became complete. But not love. Love continues. Love never ends. Love knows no limit to its endurance. It knows no end to its trust. There's no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. It's the one thing that stands when everything else has fallen. We don't know this love perfectly yet in our lives, but make no mistake about it, this is a perfect love. So what does that tell you and I? That tells us it's something that we will constantly be growing and maturing in for the rest of our lives. There is no ceiling to our elevation in this love. We're never going to have it all together on this earth before we go to heaven. So it's something we're able to constantly mature in. It's a gift that will never fall. It's a gift that will never fail. Love will never end. I was trying to decide how to close this study, and I think I'll simply do it by reading verses 1 through 8, and we're going to close with verse 13. And remember back a month ago where we started, Paul writes, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." Verse 13. "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity," or love. That would be a good thing to print out, maybe, and keep in the pocket of our Bible, that we might look at this list, that we might look at this description to remind us of what the Holy Spirit is going to do through our lives into the lives of someone else, that we may love the way God would have us to love. And why wouldn't we? It's never going to fail. Amen. It's never going to fail. Brother Rome Hickey, would you close our Bible study tonight? God bless you all, and it's great to be in the house of the Lord with you. Love you all.